The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. 5 minutes past nine on this Monday, the 21st of August. I do hope you're very well indeed. Hope you had a lovely weekend. If you were off, or perhaps you were working, either way, it's great to have you on board this bright but breezy Monday morning here from the Northwest of Ireland. And we've a busy show for you coming up on today for you. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number if you want to get involved in the conversation or indeed start your own. 00353 86 60 25,000, your WhatsApps and texts from outside the Republic. If you want to give us a call, Caroline and Niamh taking your calls today on 07491 25,000, again from outside the Republic, 00353 74 91 25,000. As I say, plenty coming up on the show. We'll also be chatting to Brendan Devaney a little later on after 11 o'clock, previewing tonight's DL Debate podcast, but also getting his views on the lock-in. It seems to be now that Jim McGuinness is to return as the Donegal senior football team manager. What a development that is. But anyway, that and so much more besides. Right, let's run through what's making the front and inside some of the papers today. The Derry People Donegal News. Inspirational Donegal woman Geraldine Mullen has spoken of how she plans to honour the memories of her husband and children for the rest of her days. She was speaking on the weekend of the third anniversary of the tragic accident in which she lost her husband, John, and children, Tomás and Amelia, aged 14 and 16. The Meville family had been returning from a day out in Derry when their car entered Loch Foyle at Quigley's Point on August 20th, 2021. Ms. Mullen was guest speaker at the National Novena in Knock on Friday, where she recalled how her life changed forever in almost an instant. And Geraldine, a regular guest on this programme, and always does what she says to honour the memories of her husband and children. And it's a tough, every day is tough, but particularly when it comes around to anniversaries and what have you. So we hope Geraldine's doing well today. The Derry News this morning. A heartbroken Derry mother has launched a petition calling for stiffer sentences for drug dealers. Pauline Duddy, who tragically lost her daughter Jasmine to drugs, is calling on the government to change the law so drug dealers could be prosecuted with murder. Jasmine, just 21, sadly passed away in February, leaving her young son Theo. Pauline described her daughter as a very bubbly and caring person with a big heart and a brilliant mother. On to the Nationals now, and two men who died in the Ironman Ireland event in Yohol in County Cork have been named locally as Garda investigations begin. The competitors have been named as Brendan Wall, who was in his mid-40s and originally from County Meath but was living in Solihull in the UK, and Ivor Chittenden, 64, who travelled from his home in Toronto to take part. It's understood that the men separately got into difficulty while swimming. They were removed from the water and pronounced dead by medical personnel. Garda were present in the control room of the Ironman event all day and were at the scene of the tragedy. Garda will now prepare files for the coroner's court, but there's no suggestion that the incidents are being treated as a criminal matter. Post-mortems will take place on the two men at Cork University Hospital today. Now, obviously, there's been a lot of commentary since, and not surprisingly, it turned to questions today as to whether or not the event should have proceeded. I mean, there are those of you out there that have been involved in such competitions, and you would know that it is not unusual, especially with a large field, sadly, for people to get into difficulty or to even die. I don't know what the ethos is in that. Does the show go on? There's a lot of questions being asked in the national media as, oh, it should have been cancelled, it shouldn't have gone ahead. I don't know. I'd be interested in hearing, you know, what other competitors might think, what the families of the men who perished might think as well, because a great deal of commitment is put in to be prepared for these tough, tough competitions. So, I mean, obviously in this day and age, instantly it goes to, well, who can we blame? The organisers, they should have cancelled it. That seems to be the tone of conversation this morning. But I don't know. As I say, I don't know what the ethos is amongst people who participate in these. And as I say, I don't know what the views of the family of the men that passed were. And sometimes we just jump to sort of say or do or question what we believe to be the right thing without really knowing what the right thing would be in that situation. But if any of you out there have an insight as to whether or not it should have continued or not, let us know. but people did travel from all over the world, and it is a high-risk sport. The Irish Independent this morning, there are hopes that consumers could see their energy bills fall in coming months as the market gets a shake-up from a new entrant today. It comes as households grapple with a cost-of-living crisis that could be further exacerbated in autumn and winter as they approach, and consumers' electricity and gas bills soar after a summer lull. Has there been a summer lull at all? Bills coming into the house for €300 for when you're not hardly using any electricity. It hardly feels like a lull. That's the most recent bills. What have your bills been like over the summer? Has it felt like a lull? 086 60 25,000. If it's €300 or €400 now, you'd worry about what it might be in the winter. But newcomer Uno Energy is promising it could save customers more than €500 a year on their electricity bills by closely monitoring their energy usage at home. Consumer groups are hoping it will force rivals to cut their prices, providing some respite for hard-pressed consumers struggling with higher bills for everything from energy to food. So this company, they don't need any further advertisement. But anyway, you pay for your bills monthly in advance on estimates. They're about a little over 38 cents per unit. And as I say, you pay monthly in advance. But the catch is you need a smart meter. Now, you can sign up without one, but they will organise one to be installed for you. But they say they can save you £500 a year. They're the same people who do the prepay energy, I believe. The Irish Daily Mail continues its coverage of the controversies at RTE. RTE faces a cross-party political revolt if it attempts to land revenue with the job of collecting the licence fee. Ministers have warned the cash-strapped broadcaster has also raised the possibility of the current funding model being replaced by a new media licence or a levy applicable to all households. The proposed changes have met stern resistance. One minister said, "Are they for real? Are they seriously suggesting that we impose the TV equivalent of water charges in the run-up to a general election?" Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said that he believes it's nearly time to bite the bullet and legislate for funding of RTE. What do you all think of this? However, one minister says if we do this, let's turn to page four, in 2024, the public would be infuriated. There would be a political revolt of if this was attempted, bringing in the equivalent of local property tax would be political madness. So do, or it's like the LPT as well. Is there anyone listening to this show today that believes that people should be forced through a levy or through revenue collection to pay for RTE services? And if you do, that's why I'm inviting you. I think the majority don't, but I'd be interested to hear from someone who thinks that would be a good idea. 086 60 25,000. We were caught right at the time of the last budget. We were covering it and it was suggested, and the general feeling was that it was a budget for people who were better off, that in fact it would make the rich more richer and the poor more poor, at least widen the gap between the two. And it's taken to now for this to be written about in the newspapers. The Irish Daily Star tells us that the gap between the rich and the poor families will widen if there are not genuine measures in the upcoming budget made to address the situation Social Justice Ireland has claimed. It also says the temporary cost of living measures introduced by the government are failing low-income households to cope with ever-increasing prices. Last year's budget did not help the worst off in Irish society, and in some cases had the opposite effect. The organisation's chief executive, Dr. Sean Healy, said. So that doesn't really come as any great surprise to me. And I'm sure you're aware of the story, the Lucy Letby story, the most horrendous of stories. And just to let you know, as I read this, it is a very emotive topic. It's about the murder of babies. And I'm not going to get deep into it. I'm just going to read some of the article here, but just to let you know that that's what I'm going to be talking about. She's going to be sentenced today, but she's not actually going to have to hear impact statements or anything from the court because of the way it works over in Britain. She can avoid all of that. Baby killer Lucy Letby should have the heartbreaking statements from her victims' families piped into her cell, a UK MP says. The nurse who murdered seven newborns is refusing to attend court for sentencing today, but former British Justice Secretary Robert Buckland insisted the proceeding should be played to her cell regardless of her wishes. He said yesterday, "Sadly, the court's hands are tied. My suggestion would be to make sure there was a live link beamed into the cell of the sound and or send pictures to ensure that Letby has nowhere to hide and, in fact, has to listen to what the judge is saying about her case. It is the most shocking of cases. And I feel for all of the families who might feel that they have some level of justice, even though they've lost their precious little baby. But then there was a number of counts where the jury failed to reach a verdict, and their parents must be going through an awful situation as well. And then, of course, there's going to be other parents whose children may have passed and weren't included in that investigation that will eternally have questions to ask. But it is the most horrendous of stories. And finally, I'm mentioning this because I'm sure many of you have connections to Tenerife if you like to go over there or you know people over there. Well, anyway, the Irish Daily Mirror tells us that wildfires raging across the island of Tenerife were probably started by arsonists, police revealed. And officials warned any suspects found guilty would face jail. Detectives have already opened an investigation into the fires. Firefighters and troops were last night still battling the infernos which broke out last Tuesday. All right, that's a run through the papers. Thanks everyone who listened to or popped in to say hello at our outside broadcast on Friday. I think by all accounts, despite some weather interference, it was a good weekend in Letterkenny for the Letterkenny Festival. And the Pride Parade seems to be incredibly well attended as well. And we were there to mark the launch of those events. But also on the show, we had four young guests. I'm going to play a wee clip from them just in case you weren't listening. We had a youth panel together. Cassie Lamb, Tiernan Lynch, Stephen Sheridan, Chloe Martin, four wonderful young people that are involved in sort of, you know, activism or the student council, or, you know, they've got a real interest in the future of not only their school and county, but their country as well. But I did ask them towards the end of the programme, and this is just a random four people, if they saw their future in Donegal or Ireland. And I'm going to play it out for you, a wee snippet of what they said, because as I say, it kind of came as a surprise to me. All four were of the same view. I said, do you see a future for yourself in Donegal?
No, I don't. All right. And I would love to. You know, I see myself going to the ATU when I'm older, but I don't see myself staying here for very long then.
I'm not sure. I don't think so, to be honest. I'm hoping to go to Galway for college, and if I like it down there, I might stay. I could go to England or Dubai.
Come back. Where did you just say Dubai?
No. Anywhere.
Right. Donegal is my home. It's where I grew up. It's where I go to school. But do I see myself achieve my hopes and dreams here? No.
Look, even already doing the youth activism, I can't stay here. And going into the future, whether it be college or work, I can't stay here.
Okay. I mean, that's shocking, isn't it? Is that the conversations that are happening in your houses, or does it just so happen that those four great young people are all of the same mind? But it's terrible, isn't it, if our young people don't see their future here? Let us know what you think. 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Now, I believe, well, the McGill Summer School has wrapped up for another year. Our reporter Michaela Clark covered it for over the course of the 3 or 4 days, and you can see her reporting on that on our website. Also in attendance was Independent Senator Eileen Flynn. Good morning to you, Eileen. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on the show this morning.
No, thanks for accepting our invite. And it was off the back of a tweet you sent out, and you had attended your first McGill Summer School. So did you go out of curiosity, Eileen? Were you invited, or what took you to Glenties for the summer school?
Well, for years I was interested in it because I hear about it at a national level as well. You know, when you tell people your connection with Donegal, they'd be talking about the McGill Summer School, because 46 years ago was set up as a political platform so people could voice their opinions. But today, in my opinion, it's one-sided. It's an establishment, really. It's part of the system. Unfortunately, that's how it is today. So people has always encouraged me around it. So I said I would go because I have a great interest in what's happening with Ukraine and Russia at the moment, unfortunately. And everything that's happening with Ireland joining NATO, trying to encourage us to join NATO. So that's where my interest was. And I went over to participate in it. as an ordinary person, really. Admission was €10, €70 for the week. It was very expensive. And when I went in the door, Greg, I'm going to be very honest, from looking around, there were no young people. I was probably the youngest person there, apart from the young men who was doing the media and the social media. And, you know, it was chaired by former TD and MEP Pat Cock. And I just found that it was very, you know, his language was one-sided. When we put up our hands to speak, we weren't allowed to speak. He knew who was speaking in the room. I just felt it was, you know, it was pointless going because the discussion was already had. And
so you believe that it was set up really with a preconceived outcome, really, and it was just to discuss what everyone agreed on, and really maybe not bringing you into the conversation because maybe you might steer the narrative in a different direction?
Well, the title of the event I went to was Russia's Future, and basically there was a woman there, Bridget Lafferty, that I believe is the most NATO-driven person in Europe that promotes it, that, you know, supports NATO. There was a Chinese colonel there, ex-colonel, and he had a different, not much of a different picture from the from the anti-Russian person who was born and reared in Russia, but he's anti-Putin now. Now, look, I'm anti-Putin myself. I'm not being on the show saying that I wanted to talk about being on Russia's side. I wanted a broader picture, and unfortunately, the broader picture wasn't there. It was more of a conversation around NATO than what it was around Russia's future in the world.
To some extent, even though, you know, maybe it wasn't what you wanted, it is, and I think it does give, maybe, does it, quite a good insight into what the establishment actually think and believe.
Oh, yeah. I felt it because, again, it was the people, the panel, one woman, and I believe she was innocent. She was an ordinary woman sitting there. She said she would like to hear another side of the story. And the chairperson said he wouldn't chair anything like that.
Right. So, in other words, if anyone strayed from the we, you know, say for instance that Ukraine must go into NATO, we must back Ukraine, the West must do everything to fight Russia in Ukraine. If you varied from that at all, that there was no interest in that. I mean, we have to be able to have nuanced conversations, do we not? But there was your feeling was that there was no interest in that at all.
No interest at all. And again, as I said, the admission in the door was like €10, which is very expensive. No young person in the audience, as far as I could see, there were no young person. A man brought a child woman that was like 2 or 3 years of age. That was the youngest person that was in the audience. I just felt it was, you know, because again, I've been in Donegal involved in activism now for the last 6 years. And people be saying to me, you know, it's a one-sided event. And even the other events, like there are people speaking at other events that I know from working at a national level with them that it wouldn't be their field, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, why is this allowed? Why is, like, that person wouldn't be professional enough to speak on this discussion? They should have got in, say, another person that's in Donegal that would be involved in topics, you know. So again, I just think from walking into the room, to me, it was like it was more of an establishment. It was more older people, and it's no harm. It's brilliant seeing older people participating in events like the McGill's Summer School. But however, saying that, to not see our young people, the future, and to be led astray, I think, you know, going for a talk to be educated, because we all need to be educated around what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. Again, we're just off our own Irish media here, and we don't know if all that is the
because
truth.
There was one. I was just listening to some of Michaela's coverage. There was a quote from a Chinese gentleman who said that China doesn't back Russia at all, you know, and even on that basis, I'm not sure if that was in the same event, part of the event
it
that
was.
You. like, I mean, even that, I think, deserves to be challenged to some extent. I mean, that is one person's point of view, but that's, it's kind of demonstrably untrue, because China and Russia are carrying out military operations together. China is taking an awful lot of the oil and gas that Europe isn't.
And I do think, Greg, if you are interested in the news in China and Russia and look at it in depth to the way I would look at it, you know, you would understand that. You'd understand that it's not just a friendly chat around the room. You'd understand that they're looking bigger into the future. And that's what I would love to have challenged. But saying that, he was probably, in my opinion, when it came to NATO, and he was probably the person that everybody else was against, because he was speaking some truth, not all truth, but he was probably the only person there that was speaking some truth, in my opinion. And again, I would have loved to challenge that, because if you look at national and international news, you would know that Russia and China has a relationship, and we don't know, is that going to be danger for the future? We don't know what that holds for us. But again, Bridget Lafferty, like, she a pure NATO, a driven NATO. And again, I just felt the discussion was, if he had said it, it was about Ireland joining NATO and encouraging us, I probably wouldn't have went anyway. You know, but
well, can I ask in terms of just in terms of participation, okay? Because you are a person with a very high profile platform. You're a national politician, and I'm actually, before I ask this question, have you ever been invited to join a panel at McGill Summer School?
No.
Okay.
No.
But anyway, what I was going to say is, so to have you perhaps contribute from the floor would be really quite significant. And I'm sure there are others with you that would like to have had their say. Did you get an opportunity, or did anyone get an opportunity to ask a question or to make a contribution from the floor at all?
Yeah, they did. There were about four people. And as I said, there were one woman who said she'd like to hear another side of the debate. And Pat's response was he wouldn't share that. He wouldn't share that. So again, now Liam put up his hand to speak, because Liam would be really good on what's happening with Russia and Ukraine, to be fair to him. And he put up his hand, but he said to me at least three times, he said, I won't be able to speak, because he knows better than me. He lives here and he's been involved in it for years. And I said, I know you will put up your hand. Of course you'll be allowed to speak. And he wasn't. He wasn't allowed to speak, because again, he probably would have challenged the panel.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, it's as I say, you went in there with your eyes open. You didn't know what you were to expect, and that's honest appraisal.
I do think they should reform this summer school, and you know, where they're involving young people.
The problem, is, Eileen, and I don't wish to cut across you. I just wonder, and as I say, I have an awful lot of respect for the people involved, don't get me wrong, but I have to have honest conversations as well. I just wonder if, you know, the guest list might be more difficult to sort of pull together if there were some dissenting voices. Now, I'm not saying there weren't any dissenting voices, I wasn't there, but my point is that, you know, they get an awful lot of high-profile government politicians up. If they were going to be challenged on that stage, you know, if I was moderating one of the conversations and maybe asked a difficult question, you know, maybe that's not what they want. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe it is, you know, maybe it is what it is. And the reason they don't have you up on the stage is because maybe, you know, a government rep or a Miss Laffin might not accept an invite to come back again. I don't know.
In my opinion, Miss Laffin is, you know, pure NATO. She just driven one way, and I didn't see any extreme high profile people. Like, you know, like the Minister Ryan wasn't there, even though, like, around the climate debate he didn't go. Charlie McConnell was there, but again, we also had a member of Rose Campbell there, Sinn Féin. So again, I don't think, like, the people that he had there was extreme, if you want to say, like, high profile people.
Not the Ian Paisley's, Martin McGuinness, Gerry Adams, Micheál Martin's the past. Yeah, okay, I get you.
I was at a summer school where Gerry Adams was during the summer. And to be fair to that summer school in Belfast, It was people from the floor got to speak, people with different opinions. And I genuinely thought that would be similar, you know, was that people were just saying that you wouldn't get the opportunity to speak or to engage. But I do think the McGill Summer School should look at themselves and say, actually, the young people is their future. They should be doing things differently. Mm. They'd even get a bigger audience and being able to expand on the programme as well. But now, for the 6 years I've been in Donegal, you know, around education, say the Mary from the Low Festival, whatever it may be, I am invited to it. Not that I think I'm anything, far from it, but it's having the invitation to be there and to be able to participate like other public representatives, you know, which is really, really important. And this is the first time that I've been to, and especially it's a political school as well. And you think that you'd be fine there because it's your profession, really. And again, like, people might look at me and think I'm a one-trick pony, but I do have other interests such as NATO and peace. You know, I'm very interested in what's happening with Russia and Ukraine at the moment. And to not be able to have that space to be able to have a real conversation, and for the politicians to be able to take it. Again, it's programmed in one way. The politicians are going, and that's basically it.
All right, stay there a second, Joe. You wanted to get in on this conversation. What's your views?
Well, my views is that I would agree entirely with Senator Flynn there, and about that element of one-sidedness and establishment view that is at McGill, and like, whether that's about Ukraine and Russia this year, or global economics and the emergence of China, or any other subject down the years, I find that I attend regularly. I'm local, I'm out the road in Flintown. But I mean, it is a little bit like that, and it is sad to see it. And it is true to say what she says, that like, in the end, you know, a lot of the guests that are there, or a lot of the attendees that are there, are councillors from other counties who are on expenses. And largely, getting back to even the fee for going in, for locals then it's very, very expensive to go, and a lot of locals don't attend. And that's such a pity, because the councillors that are there are getting, and such like people, or media people like your good selves, like, you're not going to be charged. You're there doing a job. Fantastic to see Michaela there. I'm looking forward to listening to that blog. You know, so it is very one-sided towards the establishment. And yes, the dissenting voice, as Senator Flynn said, not the dissenting voice.
Yeah, the opposing.
The alternative voice. Yeah, the opposing, sorry, bit, yeah. Exactly. You can stick your hand in the air as often as you like, but you might not get the call because they have already an idea what this journalist or that councillor might want to say. And I will say, there was one occasion this year, I attended a few sessions, and one gentleman was told on maybe the second or third night, oh, look, you've asked a question every night. Well, that was very unusual. And again, it was somebody probably with an interest, like he certainly wasn't local. So there's a lot of, and like the whole Russia thing, the whole Ukraine thing, it was very, very evident that there was only going to be one voice, and that voice had the trump, as Senator Flynn is saying, you know, it was going to be extremely pro-NATO. There was that situation where the question wasn't even about NATO, but the question that was being answered was all about NATO. Mm. I forget exactly what that is. I'd have to
look at my notes. Joe, don't worry about that.
I'm not bringing it back. But it was like, as she says, and expensive to get into. I think, and she's talking about the young people there that on sound, I think. The thing about that is, and again, I know some of those young men because they're local, and the fantastic thing about that is there's the coterie of young men there now in Glenties who are obviously part of the McGill Summer School Committee and who are coming of age and involved with the organising of it and everything. I think that is absolutely fantastic. You know, compared to the older establishment, like Joe Mulholland has put 46 years or whatever it is of his life into it, which is absolutely brilliant.
It's remarkable,
and it is nice to see. Remarkable, but it is nice to see younger people coming on, and they need a chance. But they could give local people a chance too. And I'm only coming up with that by what Senator Flynn said about being expensive to get in, and thinking of the councillors there all on their expensive. Why don't those young men now that are getting involved with McGill, why don't they not see that?
Because okay.
they're stay there, Joe. Can't afford to go.
Stay there, Joe. Eileen, did you want to come back in there?
Yeah, and just like, again, I'm not badmouthing the organisers. It was set up for good intentions, but for the last 5-6 years, it has went down and became an establishment, unfortunately, in my opinion. That's what I think. And it should be like, the young people in Donegal have little or no... they have to, as like your previous caller, you know, listening to young people like that. And there should be a platform also for those kind of young people that's going into universities, the cost, the accommodation crisis. Now, they did speak about climate, climate change, but like, again, it wasn't, young people wasn't engaged in that.
And I mean, if we don't start listening to young people and sort of saying, right, what can we do to give them a future here, we are in some bother in the next 5 to 10 years' time, because we're going to see a complete depopulation of areas like Donegal, because our four young people we had with us on Friday, all of them simply at this point, and we hope it changes, couldn't see a future for themselves in this county. Joe, before I let you go, you still attend though, so there's enough there that interests you.
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm breaking into that older establishment.
You're just becoming one of them.
But saying that, I've been attending since I was a young man. But yes, it does frustrate me. I mean, I saw a local man stand and ask a question, a very direct question. I think it might have been the same session that Senator Flynn is talking about, and she might remind me and fill me in on this. He asked a direct question, like, why all the, basically, I'm paraphrasing, Senator Flynn might qualify this. He asked a very, very short question. He says, why all the fuss and why all the retrospection over Ukraine now? And why did nobody speak up in 2003 when the US and America and Britain invaded Iraq? And that question was not answered. To say that Pat Cox was one-sided, sadly, and I've seen Pat Cox there down the years, but particularly this year, he was, Senator, I would agree on that too, he was belligerent to the point of and saying things like, well, I'm not going to chair that, or I'm not going to answer that question.
Well, you see, the problem is, as you see...
As a moderator, he couldn't have done that.
Of course, but Joe, I think the problem with that question is that no one really has an answer that's palatable. Do you know what I mean?
Nobody's answer is palatable, but when somebody asks a question, when you ask one of your guests on your show a question, Greg, you desire an answer, and whilst it might be palatable, or vice versa, when there's a discussion going on and somebody asks you a question, like, you will attempt to accommodate them. You'll never slap them down.
I see the point you're making.
Well, I'm not
going
to deal with that issue now.
I see the point you're making. Yeah. Okay. You know? Yeah. I see exactly what you're saying, Joe. Thanks for your time. See you next year.
Okay, Greg.
Okay. What would you, before I let you go, Senator, because I don't want to take up too much of your time, what would you like to have seen discussed? So say, for instance, the floor is yours. What question would you like to have seen posed, or what question would Liam, do you think, have posed either or to the panel? What would you like to have them have addressed as part of the conversation?
Just around the nuclear weapons, that there would be one of our questions, and then because they were going on so much about NATO, we would have asked their questions around NATO as well, you know, just to get a better understanding. And that relationship with Russia and China, that is very, very worrying. And that there was a question I would have asked myself if I was able to speak. But again, like, you have the questions there because you're live at the event and stuff. But now
I get you. No, I just wanted to. I'm not looking for the exact question, Senator. I was just curious as to where you'd like to have seen the conversation go. And I get you. Yeah. That's what I was anticipating.
You know, Greg, I would have loved to see, even through Zoom or whatever, an ordinary person that was living in Russia, and how it was impacting their lives, what's going on now. Because I know that we're talking worldwide about how bad Russia is, but for me, as a person that's all about human rights, I can't help to think about the women, the children, and young men in Russia at the moment, and what they must be going through.
Yeah, because we speak about the Russians. Well, it's the Russian leadership. Yeah. We don't really know what the general population think, because they can't express a view for fear of very, very serious sanction.
and even their research is driven. And we all know the corruption in Russia, and we all know what Putin's Russia is, you know. But for me, it's the people, the ordinary people in Russia that's probably fearing for their life, fearing for their future, and people who wouldn't be looking at it as an economic, as the way Russia is now, you know. So for me, that's what I would have loved to see, and questions I would have asked as well. It's about ordinary Russian citizens, like how are they, you know, because a lot of people are saying that a lot of the Russians are pro-Putin and they're going to be voting for Putin again in March. Is that a choice or is that pressure? Is that something that they have to do? We don't really know.
Okay. Lovely to chat to you again. Yeah. Thank you very much indeed. That's Senator Eileen Flynn, 086 60 25,000. And thanks for texting us in on that number. Give us a call, 207-491-25,000, if you prefer just to tell us what you think. OK, we'll get to some of those comments and more after the break.
Don't miss the Northwest Truck Fest taking place this Saturday and Sunday at Milford Mart. Enjoy a truckload of fun with live music, a truck lights display and much more. This ad is sponsored by Donegal Oil, 9121633.
Yeah, looking forward to going along to the Truck Fest. It's a fantastic couple of hours out or a full day out if you've never been to one before. And the young ones particularly love it. There's a great mixture of an audience at it. So that's the Truck Fest. We'll talk about that a little later on in the week, but great to have them on board, and I'm sure it's going to be a cracker. And the weather already actually is suggesting next weekend is going to be actually okay. So we'll see as we get closer to it. Is the McGill Summer School not organised by Fine Gael, asks a listener. I thought it was well known it was a talking shop for Fine Gael. No, it's not. It's organised locally. The Yes people go to the McGill Summer School. They don't want any challenges on anything. Another, the McGill Summer School experience is an example of what is wrong with modern work culture or woke culture. There's only one view allowed. Dissenting views are not permitted. This in society leads to division, tensions and pushes people towards far-right groups. Discussion and differences of opinion are the cornerstone of democracy. Every battalion has its marching songs. Patrick McGill, clearly there is only one song being sung at the MC, the McGill Summer School, sorry. Well done, Senator Flynn. Greg Eileen's right, we're not allowed to have a balanced debate, and I think Russia was 100% wrong in what they did. Like anything, if you do not agree with the consensus, then you are condemned. But listen, whatever we have to discuss, we need to start discussing, because, you know, hundreds of thousands of young people sent to their deaths, inevitable deaths, and it's happening all the time. And that's both Russian young people who are conscripted, both and Ukraine, where they're conscripted. They're not allowed to leave the country and they're sent to the battle lines. And on it goes. And I would love to see something done to try and come up with a resolution to it. But no one seems to even want to talk about that. OK, let's return to local matters again. And I'm delighted to welcome onto the show Aaron Daly. Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having us on.
No. And you're speaking on your behalf, but also advocating for your daughter, Sophia, who is a wheelchair user. And the bottom line is we really have an extreme shortage of proper toilet facilities here in Donegal. What's the experience?
To be honest, I grew up in Donegal. So we go back, and I now live in Dublin. But we go back every summer for a couple of weeks to Anishowen, and we travel around, you know. Now, our daughter Sophia is 17 years old. She's a wheelchair user. She is fully dependent on us for her needs. So we need to change Sophia during the day as it goes, you know. And what we're finding is it's increasingly hard every year in Donegal to find a suitable changing facility where we can safely and hygienically change Sophia. So to give you an example, a normal accessible bathroom has only got enough room for a wheelchair and the wheelchair user to maybe get in and use the facilities. With Sophia, there's normally a carer and normally two carers. And we need a hoist and an adult size changing bench to change her and get her back onto her chair. And to be honest with you, there's only one registered place in Donegal in Naran and Port Drew. And I'll give you an example. We were up there for the last 10 days. We travelled about on the Shona as we do. And we have to take a mattress, like a fold-up mattress that goes in the back of the van with us. And if we have to change Sophia, then we take her out of wherever we have, try and find a secluded spot, take her out of her wheelchair, put her in the mattress and change her, and then put her back in the chair. Now, if we go into Derry across the border, 10 minutes away, there's a number of places that are already there.
Is there? Okay.
That we can use. Yeah, there is. Now, I am part of the Change in Places campaign, which has been campaigning, and we successfully got the building regulations changed over the last 3 years with the Department of Housing. So actually, legislation has been brought into effect from the 1st of January, which actually becomes compulsory from the 1st of January in 24, that any public buildings or public spaces or places that meet the criteria will have to now start providing a set standard of changing places with a hoist, a changing bench, an increased floor space, and the other bits and pieces like a privacy screen and stuff like that.
Well, that's fantastic and a fantastic achievement. Is that with new developments going forward, or where there is the space and it suits Aaron, would that be done retrospectively as well?
So what it is, it's an amendment to Part M of the building regulations, which normally would include for the provision of facilities for, say, additional needs, you know. And actually, all new buildings will need to meet the standard. But retrospectively, if we have public buildings around the place, they will have a time limit to get themselves up to scratch as well, because they will have to meet the standards, you know.
And it has to be said too, Aaron, that the facilities that you talk of came off the back of, you know, campaigns, fundraising, local action. You know what I mean? So if it wasn't for that and for the people responsible for that, we wouldn't even have the one. I mean, it's an awful state of affairs. And I know people as well, Aaron, and I'm sure you'll find it, that if you're going anywhere, you're almost, you know, the hot spots where these facilities are right across the country. And, you know, you have to sometimes meander your way down to Mayo or something to make sure that you hit the few places that have these proper changing facilities. It's crazy.
It's very interesting, because the point that you make is exactly what happened to us. There's a big international change, or a big international theme park down from the UK in Longford. And it has become very well known, and it's designed around bikes there, you know, the whole Centre Parks thing. And we now go there twice a year. Sophia's 18 in December, and she's choosing to go there for her 18th birthday. Because it's all wheelchair friendly. They have a couple of these changing places.
Oh, really? Brilliant. Fair play to Centre Parks.
We have a disability lodge there, which has a hoist on it. You know, I would much rather be spending my money in Donegal.
I get you.
Than getting it over there. The one important news was there was a lot of local fundraising and a lot of activism locally. But the whole point of this now, Greg, is the building regulations are the building regulations. Nobody should have to campaign for this, because the building regulations state what the standard should be. So it's up to Donegal County Council now, and every council in the country, they start looking at this and start putting things in place that if they want people with disabilities to come along and spend money in their town and be included, then they have to start providing the facilities.
And when when that one in Naran and Port New was launched, like, it was great. But I said to the guests in studio at the time, I says, we need to get to a point whereby one facility being opened, as fantastic as it is a news story. Like, you know, this should be this should be the norm. You know, like, as I say, anything away from what was achieved, but it shouldn't be a news story that we have one proper toilet facility for people with disability.
Yeah, well, sure. You know, if people could see
see us changing a 17-year-old in the back of a van in 2023. You know, that's a new story in itself. But like, we're in the Anishinaabe Peninsula there. We stayed out in Letchfield for a couple of weeks. We're not going to travel over to Portneuf just so that we can use the changing. We shouldn't have to anyway. But you know, if there's one place in Donegal, then it's kind of out of reach for us. We all know how bad the county is.
Yeah.
But I had a very constructive meeting with Jack Murray when we were up there. We actually came back to Dublin last night. And I tried contacting a few people, and Jack Murray met with us. He's going to take it to the council as well and just see if they can be proactive with it. Especially, they've just spent a fortune developing Swan Park. We walk through Swan Park. There's public toilets there for the general public, but we have to go back to the car park or drive back home to use the hoist we want to change our daughter, you know. So, okay. So that's the thing. So right. This is coming down the line. I hope Donegal Council can get on board and start being a bit more proactive with it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, and it links into the bigger disability thing of, you know, beach access, parking
inclusion in every element of life. Aaron, I wish I had more time. Best wishes to Sophia and the rest of the family, and I hope you enjoyed your stay.
Amazing.
And well done to you and the group for getting that legislative change. And let's hope now people do the right thing and sort of adhere to it retrospectively as well. Thank you so much. That's Aaron Daly, father of Sophia McGuinness there. And that is the state of play in 2023. We shouldn't really have to have parents having to fight and advocate and for what should be basic provisions. Okay, stay right where you are. We're going to take a break for the news and the obituary notices, and then we'll be back after.